The Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.
The Bob Siegel Show is brought to you in part by Primetime Media Group and the law offices of Matthew Simone.
Recurring themes on The Bob Siegel Show can also be found on his online column, Forbidden Table Talk.
It's time now for the Bob Siegel Show, a religious open forum where all questions are welcome. And now, here's your host, Christian apologist, Bob Siegel.
And this is Bob Siegel. So, you'd like to believe in God, but you wonder why Christians don't seem to care more about the character of the public officials they elect or root for. After all, doesn't the president insult people? And hasn't his Supreme Court pick been accused of sexual misconduct? Well, my friend, regarding President Trump, let me say for the umpteenth time, we did not elect a Christ. We elected a president. I care about a man's policies when in office because these policies are going to affect my freedom of religion and freedom of speech and a lot of other freedoms. As for Kavanaugh, there was never any proof that he did any of the things he was accused of. We do, however, have it on record from Democrats that they were going to oppose any of Trump's nominees even before the nominee was nominated. There were protests out on the streets with blank, fill-in-the-blank signs before they even knew it would be Kavanaugh. As for Kavanaugh's accusers, they simply did not hold up. Too many contradictions in their stories, too many other people at the same events claiming they saw nothing like this. And in the case of this latest smear job, the very woman in question fully admits that she has no recollection to corroborate this hit piece by a certain Max Steyer, former Clinton lawyer and defender during the Lewinsky scandal. Kavanaugh, incidentally, was working with Ken Starr at that time, so apparently there was no love lost between Kavanaugh and Steyer in the past. But that doesn't matter if believing this poppycock fits the Democrat narrative. I'm quoting from Congresswoman Presley, one of the charming, very charming squad of four. Sexual predators do not deserve a seat on the nation's highest court. Really, Ms. Presley? Here's how I'd put it. People who do not accept that a person is innocent until proven guilty do not deserve a seat with the House of Representatives. However, let me introduce a man who always deserves his seat here in the radio station, National Review contributor, Mike Friedenberg.
Okay, Bob. Well, thanks for having me back once again. An honor to be here this evening. So there's, as per usual, since Trump started running, President Trump started running, there's never a slow news week. It just is not.
Even if someone has to create news.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. I mean, yes. So, I mean, there's been so much in the news right now. And one of the biggest things in the news, and I saw it when it was just, you know, being initially talked about, and then the next day it went to front page in Fox, front page in CNN, front page everywhere. And that was, you know, Trump's nefarious dealings with, you know, the president of Ukraine, right?
Right. And we don't know much about what went on in that conversation anyway.
We've actually been getting some
details.
Are
we getting more? Well, I know supposedly he asked about this thing with Joe Biden, which—
Right.
As if a president is not allowed to ask if the previous administration was corrupt.
Well, let's talk about that. Number one, who had access to his conversations with a foreign leader?
Well, exactly. I'm very bothered by these leakers and traitors.
Number two, we are now finding out, even though we don't know, I think we know who the whistleblower is. Some reports have said that the whistleblower didn't actually hear the conversation or see transcripts. He was told about the conversation or transcripts. Interesting.
Well, but you know, Mike, Adam Schiff is gravely concerned about this. Yeah. I mean, gravely concerned.
So once we're here, we're getting to the standard here of, you know, that's in legal terms, that's called hearsay. Okay, number, so let's, now we go from there to the whole point that with these transcripts there, the word has come out from reports from, I think, relayed both in the Wall Street Journal and Fox and also in the Ash Review, that there was no quid pro asked for in the conversations.
Well, they try to make it look like even asking about any information that would look damaging to Biden, as if Biden's own big mouth didn't confess all this anyway, is like likened to slanting the election. Well, look, he may be the president, but he is running in the next election. He may run against Biden, and he's as allowed to do opposition research as we know the Democrats are going to
do. Well, it goes beyond that, Bob, but that's a good segue there, because first of all, you have a senior U.S. official who there's a prima facie case for influence dealing and corruption. We are talking about his son, Hunter Biden, who has no experience in the energy business whatsoever, while his dad is the vice president of the United States, being given a job on the Burisma oil company, Ukraine, for between $50,000 and $80,000 a month in salary. We're talking about several million dollars of money being transferred from that company into accounts he's affiliated with. This is all while Biden's there. We're also talking about Biden bragging during a meeting, I think in January, in actually 2018, and he does not keep his mouth shut, bragging about how he went into Ukraine and said, and told the Ukrainian government, that unless you fire the prosecutors that's investing my son's company that he's making $50,000 from, unless you do this, we're going to pull loan guarantees of $1 billion from you. And you're trying
to. And I've seen that a gazillion times on TV for the last year, I think even the last couple of years. So what's the big deal? What is Trump uncovering that we don't already know?
So this is a former president, a vice president, who's now running to run for the highest office in the land. So, of course, it's not only a political opposition. It is his duty as president to ask these questions.
And worst case scenario, if he was doing opposition research, even though he's president, it's legitimate because he is running again. And we all know that Trump speaks without a filter. So who knows what he may have said over the phone? Because he's Trump, he could have said anything. It's just not that big of a deal.
So let's go a little bit deeper there. So also the other thing here is that it was filed under section, I think it's 3033, which basically has to do with intelligence officials, other government officials, finding out things that have a highly urgent nature that need to be reported. Now, this provision, by the way, is generally viewed not to apply to the president whatsoever. That's been historically how the Department of Justice looked at it. The reason it does not apply is that the president of the United States, the president, is given vast authority over foreign policy. Nobody has the authority to really regulate him on foreign policy issues other than the voters when it gets reelected or for commerce treaties. Treaties of commerce is the one thing, that's the one thing in the Constitution that it limits the president. So this whole statute has no authority over the president whatsoever.
Well, and I am sure the Democrats know all this, but the more stuff they can get out about Trump,
right,
those that don't really follow the news or follow it on NPR or something, they're going to go, gee, there's so many different scandals. They can't all be false. That's the way pea brains are going to think about this.
Throw enough mud, some of it's going to stick. That, of course, and that's what they've done
consistently. That's all they're trying to do.
So exactly. So then, we have Mike Atkinson, who's the Inspector General for the intelligence community. He was brought on in January, I think, of 2018, and he thought, now at least it's being reported that he thought that there was enough evidence to warrant a complaint going to Congress. Now, Andrew McCarthy, who writes for National Review, is also a former deputy attorney general for the Department of Justice, really knowledgeable guy. He basically just says that Mike Atkinson made a mistake in this in the first place. And that's just a mistake. But regardless, what's going to happen here is there's nothing there to go after Trump on. There really is not. But course, there's going to be all the screaming and yelling. And as you were saying, Bob, the fact that when it quietly goes away, it's going to, and there's nobody going to be making an apology to Donald Trump about this. Nobody's saying that they were wrong. It's just going to fade away eventually.
And we know more about this today than we knew a week ago or a few days ago when it first broke. But even the first day, they talked about it nonstop, almost 24/7 on MSNBC.
Well, we know CNN. More, and the more we've learned, the less and less anybody that's has any knowledge or any sense of honesty should be talking about that the president did something illegal or illegitimate. The president acted fully under his powers as president. Bob, you could say it was opposition research, and of course, in the back. But the bottom line is, here is a person saying, I want to be president of the United States. And there's, it's clear, I mean, to not think that there's not corruption there, I mean, you'd have to prove that there's not corruption there, because it looks so obvious that there was corruption.
Well, that's the whole thing, because they want to find corruption about Trump. They're ignoring the very obvious corruption about Biden.
Well, here's the thing that's the sort of the interesting. I noted this right at the very beginning. By bringing this out in the context of attacking Trump, what they've also done is they've made it very hard for the mainstream media to ignore the Biden corruption charges.
Yeah, this might blow up back in their faces.
Well, it's actually already is. And there's already people writing and saying that this may be the end of Biden's campaign because...
Well, I think we were going to see the end of that anyway, but
this may hasten it along.
Yes, yes.
But it could be, literally, it could be that somebody in there, well, I'm a shrewd person that's hates Trump, but also thinks that Trump's that Biden's a poor candidate, could have gone for a twofer. I could go after Biden and go after Trump at the same time. Seriously, in the end, the person, this is just another thing attacking Trump. It's going to fade into the background. But the person that this could really, really impact is Joe Biden.
But I do wish these deep state people would have enough integrity to say, if I don't like Trump, I won't work for him, instead of just being a downright traitor and Benedict Arnold.
These are career people whose pensions and their entire life is tied up in this. They're not going to move into the private sector. They're there, and they're going to be there administration after administration. And remember,
Who knows what's been going on for years? The only reason we're even finding out this stuff is that Trump won the election, which he wasn't supposed to do.
Right.
Had Hillary won, we'd have never known any of this stuff.
That kind of just brings up a question I will ask you, Bob. If you were to point to the number one accomplishment of President Trump during his first 2.5-3 years, what would it be?
Well, there have been a lot of them. What's most important to a lot of us, I guess, is the Supreme Court and the federal judges he's appointing, because that is a long-standing thing to have in place that'll go through additional administrations.
And that's somebody that will live past whether he's reelected or not, even if he's elected for the second, that's a legacy.
Well, when I voted for him, I didn't like him much when I voted for him, and the Supreme Court was a large thing on my mind. And yet he's done so much stuff that's gone beyond our wildest hopes, from the embassy being changed to Jerusalem, to the tax cuts. Well, we'll talk more about this.
I'll tell you when we come back. I'll tell you what is most impressive and important.
Okay, I may not have said the most impressive thing, but Mike will carry the day and say the most impressive thing when we get back.
As if you haven't figured it out by now, Bob is mildly opinionated about the ultimate issues of life. But Bob also respects the opinions of others. To offer your own viewpoint or to challenge Bob with a thought-provoking question, give us a call at 1-888-344-1170. 1-888-344-1170. You can also reach Bob through Facebook, Twitter, or questions@bobsiegel.net. When you trust the care of your children to others, it's comforting to know they share the same Christian values, that what you teach your children at home is also taught in their preschool environment. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is an all-inclusive preschool where the staff ministers to all children of all abilities, including children with special needs, through a curriculum developed by the owners and designed for the preschool-age child 3 to 5. During these preschool years, your children will make important developmental gains, as well as social and emotional development, that'll be the foundation for their overall success in life. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool is a state-licensed, Bible-believing, Bible-teaching preschool and a nonprofit 501c3 organization. Contact us now at wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com and secure a space for your preschooler. wisdomworkschristianpreschool.com or call 619-440-1044. 619-440-1044. Wisdom Works Christian Preschool.
Welcome back to 1170 AM, 96.1 FM, The Answer. I'm your host, Bob Siegel. Now, I wouldn't worry much about Joe Biden's shady deal with the Ukraine. He probably remembers it as a deal he made with King George of England. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
Yes, I have to agree. I don't believe that Joe Biden has the legs to get through this primary. And an Iowa poll just came out showing him falling behind Elizabeth Warren. And I think that if he falls back into the pack where he's like in the top three or four, I think he'll drop out of the race.
I hope it ends up being Elizabeth Warren, because the nightmarish things she wants to do are going to be so clear, at least to the conservatives and a lot of independents. You've heard me say this before. My fear is that it's going to be a dark horse and that we have not yet seen the nominee.
So, but back to the most impressive and most important accomplishment of President Trump's first term so far.
I know. It's the fact that he won't walk a dog because he thought that would look stupid. And didn't he call it self-serving or a phony? He called it phony to own a dog like other presidents.
Exactly. But, well, then this is the second most
important. All right,
important.
Behind the dog.
Is that he is still president.
Well, that's true. When you consider that he's getting opposition from his own party, from the deep state, obviously the Democrats, the media, with the exception of Fox, and half the people on Fox don't like him either. I mean, he is Teflon. He is resilient.
Well, no, think about the resources that have been dedicated to take him down. Bob Mueller's team was constituted for the specific purpose of finding anything on any Trump associate,
And they were very motivated. Those were all Clinton supporters he found. If they couldn't find anything, nothing's there.
Look what they did to General Mike Flynn. He spent $4 million legal bills.
Threatened him with his son's incarceration.
So this was standard operating procedure for everybody they went out after in the Trump sphere of influence. So if they've been able... Bob, if they've been able to get somebody to compose something that could not be rebutted, that could not be proven wrong, to say the right thing, we would be months and months and months into impeachment hearings. And you know what, Bob? We would have probably impeachment level majorities in both the House and the Senate, because Republicans would be caving right and left.
Yeah, and then good things about Trump, they turn into bad, and bad things about other politicians, they turn against Trump. Here's a couple of my favorites. This one happened this week. All this stuff with the prime minister in Canada and the blackface. Mm. So somebody on one of the other networks, I think it was Don Lemon, he comes out and says, well, at least he apologized. Isn't it refreshing to see a politician apologize? Wink, wink, nod, nod. Trump never apologized. And then this was my absolutely favorite. This one was a few weeks ago. Have you noticed that when most presidents get into office, by a couple of years, they look a lot older? Obama looked twice as older. Trump looks just as young. They go, well, that's probably because the other presidents were more concerned about the issues, and the fact that Trump looks so young means he's not concerned. You just can't make this stuff up. The Onion is going to go out of business because nothing that they could print could be funnier and stupider than what's in the real news.
No, and I'm saying we just sort of blown by it, but let's just, I don't want to say we've blown by it, but really, if you look at what forces were made with him, you mentioned that you had a fear that maybe possibly that President Obama wouldn't leave office. But you turned out to be pretty much correct because he left behind a hit team.
He left the way a bee leaves. After he stings you, what happens? The stinger stays inside you and does its work.
Or like a
tsetse
fly.
That's the way Obama left.
Like a tsetse fly that lays its eggs and they grow.
Well, that's even better. Okay. That's even better.
So the thing is that, and if Trump had not survived the presidency, if he had, he would not be appointing these federal judges. He would not have, he might, you know, and he wouldn't be in a position to appoint another Supreme Court judge. So I'm just saying,
and any other Republican would have caved. They would have thrown Kavanaugh under the bus. They would have apologized. That any other Republican would have done that.
They appropriated every one of all the communications for his transition team. Something that's never been done before. His personal attorney was snagged. And his all-client attorney-client privilege was destroyed. You go down the list here.
And they got his original attorney general to recuse himself immediately.
So calling him the Teflon president, that understates it. I mean, the Teflon president is somebody that can take public criticism. This was a concerted attack.
He's getting it from all directions.
This was a coup attack like we've never seen in the history of the United States.
It's not just a fifth column. It's a bunch of fifth columns. They're everywhere.
Right. And with apologies to Sean Hannity, it's not just a few people at the top. Hundreds and hundreds of intelligence officials knew what was going on, and either they were involved or they didn't say anything. They directly knew what was going on. They didn't say
anything. I do get tired of that when he's talking about the FBI. He always gives that. But, you know, why didn't we have a few whistleblowers from the rank and file if they had all that integrity?
Beyond that, there was thousands of people in the FBI and intelligence agency that be by word of mouth, because they are in the business, they also knew what was going on. Exactly. They weren't directly involved. They didn't handle
that.
And I
understand they're fearful of their jobs, right. But somebody needed to have the courage to come forward.
And then let's remember that, you know, from the federal government, 90 to 95% and higher, depending which department you look, of the contributions went to Hillary Clinton when Trump was running. So this is not an environment. The deep state, it's not, you know, just there. It's an environment that is certainly much more friendly to Democrats.
Well, you know, Trump called it a swamp before he was elected. I don't think he had any idea how much of a swamp it was or how correct he was. I think he knew there was a swamp there. I don't think he knew the swamp had tentacles that went everywhere.
Yeah, I don't think he understood, but I'm just saying, the openness he had, I mean, they could talk about obstruction, but the fact is that he let his personal attorney testify for like 32 hours.
He is a very open person, warts and all. That's why we don't like half the things he says. But at least he doesn't have 20 handlers around him saying, you can't say this or you'll offend him. You can't say that or you'll offend her. Okay, we'll be right back. You're listening to The Bob Siegel Show. Bob Siegel. They say a man's home is his castle. So when it comes to the wiring of your house, you don't want to mess around with some unknown electrician. Instead, do what I did. Call W&S Electric Incorporated. W&S specializes in both contracting and repair. From troubleshooting to remodeling to circuit breakers and fuses, W&S takes a skilled but personal interest in your home at affordable rates. I know the owner, Wayne Klingenhofer, personally, and I can testify firsthand to his integrity. Call 619-447-8785. That's 447-8785 for W&S Electric Incorporated. License number 480539, WNS Electric.
Bob Siegel's novel, Push the Winds Around, is now available in both ebook and print copies. Check out this customer review from Amazon.com. Talk about a good read. Have you ever thought, if only God would allow me to go back in time to right my wrongs? What if I could change those decisions I made? What would be the outcome? Would the changes make a difference? If you have ever thought about that, then this book is your challenge. The story is so good you won't want it to end. You'll see why it deserves 5 stars. Bob Siegel, you've done it again. Can't wait for the sequel. Push the Winds Around, available on Amazon.com and BarnesandNoble.com.
Back to the Bob Siegel Show. Say hello again to Mike Friedenberg.
So you'd mentioned the criticism that was leveled at Trump because he doesn't seem to have aged as much as other presidents have.
The stuff they pull out of their hat, it's just astounding.
I have a theory on that. If you're being honest and you're being true to yourself and you're a person of integrity, and I know that Trump exaggerates things, and he doesn't like to admit he was wrong. But when you hear President Trump talk, you are hearing the real person. He's not thinking of what's going to make me sound the best. I believe one of the reasons maybe we saw President Obama age is because of the amount of lying.
Because he lied through his teeth every
minute?
The amount
of lying, the corruption, the various scandals that he was that the media had no interest in covering. But We right now, I believe we have enough evidence to say that by far and away, it's not even close, he ran the most corrupt administration in the history of the United States presidency. Nobody's close.
Unless there was corruption, we never knew about. Well, that makes sense to me, Mike, but the people at the network MSDNC probably would not agree with that.
Probably not. So, you know, back to, President Trump, I do think that probably just because without him surviving, you couldn't have done all these judges. That is the most important. And second probably is the judges. But a close third, arguably second, would be his courage and willingness to take on the left's control of the public square, the speech in the public square. No Republican has had the guts to do that for the last 30 to 40 years that's a major elected official. They have complete and utter control. They had set the speech standards for what is acceptable speech. And all Republicans and conservatives, major that were either running for office or major political figures, adhered to it out of terror of violating it. And he actually just blew through that. Nobody else has done it. Nobody.
Yeah, he actually signed an executive order about freedom of speech on the campus.
Well, and that's significant. But just him being able to talk openly, willing to talk openly about issues, to talk bluntly about issues and not use, for example, when he went after the squad, the four persons of color, right? A bit for their anti-Semitism,
yeah,
they're
he,
lying.
Of course, he never mentioned that they were
they're
persons
lying.
Of color. That was never an
no,
issue
but,
to him.
Right, but they were. But for Donald Trump, what he saw was four people.
That hate our country.
That hate our country, four people that were lying, four people, at least two or three of them.
Either lying or just incredibly stupid. It's hard to know which sometimes.
At least two of them and with virulently anti-Semitic statements. And what he saw was those four people. Now, see, a person that is race conscious, overly race conscious, would sit there and go, and most Republicans, most conservatives, most Democrats would have said, oh my heavens, there's four women of color, not just people of color, women of color, and they would have been terrified to criticize them because they've been so conscious about race. Trump just said, hey, these are four people. that are saying stupid things. They're anti-Semites and they're attacking me. So I'm going to attack them back. See, to me, that is makes him one of the least racist people we've ever seen in public
service.
Well, and
then also the EPA regulations that he's lifted, that he stopped strangling businesses. And as far as border security goes, I know they've been stopping him at every turn, but at least we see him trying very, very hard to keep his campaign promises about the border.
He is the most doggedly determined person I've ever seen in public office. First of all, right now, the border wall is being built at a mile per day. It was brutal, but he got it done.
Finally getting a couple of judges ruling his direction, at least temporarily.
Secondly, he just signed an asylum agreement with El Salvador, which basically means that they agree that it's part of that they're going to try to keep their people there. Also, they also agree that people coming through their country cannot use it as a stopping point.
Yeah.
Which is smart.
And I'm not sure what he said to them, but for years I've hoped he'd say to some of these countries, you cooperate or we cut off your aid.
He's been able to get this done with several countries. So significant progress in that area.
And that was probably never that hard to do. It's just that he's had the willingness to do it.
Well, he has the willingness to do this. And also, we have never, not ever in the history of my life, not under Reagan, not any against anybody, never have we seen Mexico cooperating more in shutting down that border. And I mean, it's not perfect, but it's just an order of magnitude. They actually are cooperating with us and helping to control that border.
And the Democrats don't want to cooperate with them because the wall was his signature campaign promises. And then they want to go on the campaign trail saying, where's Trump and his promise about building the wall? He didn't keep any of his promises.
So he actually, 4 months ago, in the last two, three months, a lot of the things he's been working on are starting to bear fruit. So really, we're going to see a reduction in border crossings based upon the things he has accomplished in the things that have come to fruition in the last 2 or 3, 4 months. He is just a bulldog.
And Mike, and I'll say this to everyone listening, ladies and gentlemen, if he does not get reelected, we lose our republic. We'll still be called a republic. We'll still have a flag. We'll still be called the United States of America. But we will no longer be the United States of America. Obama did enough damage. They will finish the job if we have another 4 years of the Democrats in control. Just listen to the things they say they want to do. This is not a conspiracy theory. Look at what they say they want to do. And you'll know what I'm talking about.
It is terrifying.
And it'll be the elimination of, they're talking against the First Amendment and freedom of speech. They're talking against the Second Amendment. We're not allowed to have cars. We're not allowed to eat meat. They want to tax the rich like what, about 90%? I mean, it goes on and on and on. It would destroy the country.
So just to you know, change things up a bit, is to talk a little bit about ballistic envelopes, ballistic blankets, fatigue levels of titanium versus aluminum, you know, that sort of subject matter.
I'm sure that's a subject that everyone in the audience is very knowledgeable about. But maybe you could do a quick review for those of us that are already up to speed on it.
Just to move it up a little bit higher to a little more macro level.
We're going to raise the level. Okay.
We're going to raise the level to higher. Well, we're going
to. Because I was afraid I was going to have to really come down to your level.
Yes, exactly. We're going to raise to the macro level. Is next year we have approved a budget for our defense of about, I think, it's $717 billion. This year, we're in the process of a budget that's altogether about $686 million. We are spending more. And in fact, even if you include the Obama years and the Bush years, we are spending more in adjusted dollars. In other words, dollar for dollar, including the inflation rate and things like that, that we spent during the Reagan buildup, where we got to 594 ships, where we had three times as many fighters we have now active, where we had almost 2 to 3 times as many in arms, where we had double the number of submarines. And so let me ask you a question here, Bob, just to kind of as a segue. If somebody comes to you and says, hey, we just done a study that shows that despite the fact that we've doubled the money we're spending on education, the results are going down, would that be something that would surprise you?
Well, knowing how our education system has been for the last 40 years, no, it would not. We'll be right back. This is Bob Siegel for Skyline Church. Jesus said that his people should be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. Some churches take that mandate seriously, others, sadly, do not. I am happy to announce that there are many good, serious churches in San Diego, and Skyline is certainly one of them. Outreaches to the community and the world at large are carried on by our missionary family. There are ministries to the poor, the shut-ins, and the emotionally scarred. There are groups and classes for all ages, from children to middle school to high school, college, young adult, and senior citizen. Skyline is also on the cutting edge of today's social issues. We mobilize people and help them to be a better voice for the changing culture around us.
Skyline Church.
Wondered why I play the bumper music a little longer on this show than you usually hear on a talk show. There's a couple of reasons. One is I just like to do it, but also we talk about a lot of intense issues, and I think sometimes breaking it up with some music is just a good balance. But right now I'm breaking it up with my good friend and National Review contributor Mike Friedenberg.
So back to what we were talking about is that most Republicans and conservatives, certainly conservatives and most Republicans, If you make the statement, hey, we've been spending more per student on education, yet we've been seeing the performance tumble and go down, a lot of them will say, oh yeah, I knew that. And if you were to talk to, let's say, somebody that's a knowledgeable guy like Senator Ted Cruz, he could probably say, oh yeah, I wrote something about this. I've read some studies.
What okay. You're saying with the military,
but when it comes to the military, we have this blind spot. And I had this blind spot myself for decades. Basically, if you said the military spending, basically my critical thinking shut down to some degree. I said, well, it's for the military. Well, no matter what we spend, it's
conservatives
okay.
are going to be afraid to criticize the military, just as some right. people are going to be afraid to criticize the squad of four.
But let me just say right now is Trump's heart is absolutely in the right place when it comes to the military.
But you think he may have advisors around him that are giving stupid advice? Oh,
and the advisors, probably even their advisors. They may mean well, but if you're raised in a system that is dysfunctional as the current system, if you went in as a lieutenant coming out of the academy, and you went in with the system and you've been raised in the system, you're not going to be able to see. It's just like if you're around a smell for a long period of time, you no longer can smell it.
You get used to it.
And that's the situation right now. So right now, despite the massive increase we're putting into the money, our military capabilities are still decreasing. They're not increasing. They're going down.
And that is concerning, considering that there's all kinds of upgrades going on in the weaponry of our enemies.
China is becoming a more major threat.
Well, and Russia's satellite warfare, computer warfare, what they're doing with drones.
Yeah, 36% of our F-18s and other fighters are not capable of flying. And it's, Bob, it's not because of a lack of money. It's because, as President Eisenhower said when he left office, he called it the military-industrial complex, but it should be called the military-industrial congressional complex. There is no accountability anymore. And when the Soviet Union, you know, when that fell, the urgency that sort of restrained some of this behaviors went away because we were alone. Nobody was there. No matter what we did, no matter how poorly we spent our money or how we wasted, we were still going to be the most powerful military power in the world. And the opponents that we faced in shooting wars were third-rate militaries that had zero chance against us.
So are they making things that look good but just don't function as well? Is that part of the problem?
It's flawed from the beginning to the end. Let's talk about the F-35, one of my favorite topics. That's a program that if it goes from now and they actually build the number of planes they want to build, could be a $1.5 trillion program. It's not only is that money not being used for things that'll be better, but it's actually being used to build planes that right now, as we're building them, are already obsolete. Their concept of operations, in other words, the reason that we built them, designed in the way, which was in the 1990s, that concept of operations is not even hardly valid anymore, especially against a peer competitor like China or Russia or other competitors, people that we don't know could eventually become peer competitors. So this is a huge amount of money. So you had a flawed concept of operations. Then you had Lockheed Martin. And they basically took the production and the design and manufacturing and they spread it to 48 states so that anytime if you try to cut it, 48 states, hundreds of congressional districts, they would sit there and say, oh, you're going to lose these high-paying jobs. So it's such a massive problem. But I guess the point is that rather than spending more money, let's just say, hypothetically, if you could become 20% more efficient in how you do military procurement and how you do your overall military procurement, everything, spending, and you had a $600 billion budget. Right now, we're already at $686. But let's say you just said, okay, we're going to allocate $600 billion, and you became 20% more efficient. You would be able to get $750 billion worth of value by getting a 20% improvement. That's the way the math works. The returns from doing effective reforms would be so huge. And we need to start looking at that. And we need to start saying, hey, if you're a patriot and you care about the country, then you've got to be for defense reform. You've got to be for defense reform. Right now,
but I think people just react like, who am I to criticize our defense
reform? And 80% right now, 80% of the admirals that retire and the generals retire now go on, 80% now go on to work for defense contractors. So what you have is the former four-star admiral who's now on the board coming to meet with the three-star admiral who was his subordinate for decades. Their wives know each other. Their kids know each other. And this is the person, these are the people that are supposed to be keeping accountability and even somewhat of an adversarial relationship, you know, trying to get the most bang for the buck. It doesn't work. That's one of the major problems that has to be changed. But beyond that is just this the money that Lockheed Martin spreads around. I was talking to an Air Force guy and he said sarcastically, yeah, it's the United States Air Force of Lockheed Martin. He called it that because that's how much control they have. So it's like the worst of both worlds. You've got capitalism, but none of the real competition to restrain and market forces to restrain it.
Okay, I'm going to ask you for some suggestions of what we can do about this when we return.
You know, it's common in today's uncertain economy to feel apprehensive. After all, the seemingly limitless choices in the housing market can look quite confusing. You might even know people who've shared their difficult experiences with the housing market, sometimes losing money instead of what they'd hope would be a simple and profitable procedure. Well, here's the good news. Realty Executive All Areas here to help. Our track record is proven. Listen. Since 1994, we've sold thousands of homes in the San Diego area. What may seem like an obstacle to you is just a challenge for us. We thrive on multitasking and achieving goals. When faced with opportunities or unique situations, our level of determination goes into overdrive. We're confident we can use our skills to attend to your personal needs.
You can reach my friend Fred Valduti at 619-719-7717. That's 619-719-7717. 719-7717.
Or fredfalduti.com. That's Fred, FALDUTI.com.
You've already heard some of the wonderful customer reviews of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament, but now listen to some highlights from a professional review by Lisa Ruth of Communities Digital News. The book is literally a page-turner that will delight children and adults alike. Readers will find a piece of themselves in Mike, whom Siegel portrays perfectly. He develops the 12-year-old deftly and makes him real to the readers. They will adore Aunt Lorene. They will remember their first love and the pain of betrayal from a friend. Caligula the cat is a wonderfully clever addition to the story. He steals the book with his caustic insight, making all readers wonder just what their own pets would say if they could talk. The real gift of the Dangerous Christmas Ornament is the lessons it weaves amid the adventure. It reminds us of the social and personal responsibility we share and the repercussions of our actions on those around us. The Dangerous Christmas Ornament has adventure, entertainment, and some extremely important lessons. What more could you ask for in a book?
Mike Friedenberg, we'll get back to our discussion about the military-industrial complex in just a moment. A couple of comments coming in from some listeners. I like what Teddy says. She says, I talked to my liberal neighbor tonight about the 2020 elections. She said it's a hard decision on who to vote for. I said, no, it's not. It's either Trump or socialism. Her jaw dropped. She said she never looked at it that way. It's that simple, folks. Trump or socialism. You said it. And Mike, here's a question from Wayne. Hi, Bob and Mike. Looking ahead a bit to the 2024 elections, assuming God willing Trump wins 2020, who do the Republicans have in the bullpen to run in 2024? Could we be delaying inevitable, or could the country already be starting to show signs of the pendulum swinging back to conservative values? That sounds pretty optimistic. What do you think, Mike? I would like to believe that. I'm not sure.
You know, I like to try to be as positive as I can, given some material to work with. First of all, in 2024, Trump wins re-election. You've got to think it's Pence, Mike Pence.
Yeah, he'd be a very different kind of president.
He would be, but
demeanor-wise, but he stands for the same.
But no, but he's currently the vice president,
and he's a man of integrity.
He's a man of integrity. He's not the person we needed in 2016, or we need right now. But after 8 years of President Trump, he could be a very good person. So he's obviously the front runner right now because of a VP for two terms. He would be the front runner 2024. Now, is the pendulum swinging back yet?
Still seems like a 50-50 split in this country.
There is, but here's the one thing I will say is that when I see conservatives or Republicans pounding their chest, you know, after a good election result, you know, proclaiming and, you know, strutting around and being all cocky, I always sit there and say, now, who controls our education system? Who has controlled it for the last 40 years?
Yeah, and on issues like same-sex marriage and things like that, we're not winning this battle at all. We are losing hands
down. So I will say this, is that we need, I always leave room for, a revival.
The Bible says the hearts of the fathers and children need to be turned back.
I think that we can still fight effectively. But we also need to be looking at the education system and gain its control. And one of the things I think that we ought to look at is that they have all sorts of rules and regulations that the college and universities meet, fitting, you know, diversity here, certain number of women, certain number of racial backgrounds. I would like to see something, and I know that some conservatives don't like it, but I think they're not realistic. I think they're living in an ivory tower. I would like to see a diversity mandate, where you actually have to sit there and say, hey, we're not being biased against somebody because of their religious background. We're not being biased because they happen to be a conservative. And since they're all receiving massive amounts of federal aid and money, federal student loans, I think that, as I said, I think that we need to look at something like that. But that's
The liberals love to talk about the fairness doctrine when it comes to talk radio. How about something like the fairness doctrine out on the campus? You have a teacher with an agenda. Well, maybe it doesn't belong in mathematics or engineering, but in the humanities, fine. You can have your opinion, but we're also going to hire some conservative teachers, and they're going to have their opinion, and your students are going to be exposed to both, and they're going to learn how to do a long-forgotten art.
There's going to be some scrutiny. There should be some scrutiny. But that, now back to the...
So I was going to ask you, back to the military, what can we do? Will Trump wise up on his own, or does he need somebody to wise him up? And is anyone... Do you know anyone around Trump who maybe trying to wise him up?
It's a very difficult issue for him to take on because I would like to think that with his job performance should earn him a landslide victory in 2020. It really should.
It should.
But I'm not 100% confident of that.
Well, and if anything happens to the economy, and frankly... I don't trust people like George Soros, or rather I do trust them to try to manipulate the stock market.
But it's always going to be there. But so you're looking at this here. So the thing is first of all, Trump is not an expert on military affairs and matters. He relies upon the experts around him. General Mattis was I have a lot of respect for him. Great guy, but he was terrible on defense reform issues. Anybody's going to bring in, and President Trump really, really, God bless his soul, respects military service. He respects those people with the generals.
Which he should, but he can't assume that everything they say is right just because he respects their service.
That we're never going to have reform if that's what's happening. The other thing that's very tough is, if you start talking about major reform, the defense companies are going to put pressure on the congressman. You're going to hear screaming and squawking because reform means changing the status quo. And Lockheed Martin, Boeing, General Dynamics, hundreds and hundreds of influential defense companies like the status quo. So it's a pretty tough...
We may not be paying them as much money to build things that aren't really helping us.
So it would have to be very shrewdly done. But one of the things that I think you could do, maybe... And it'd be hard because it'd be sort of the same argument you hear against, congressional term limits, by conservatives, is to sit there and say, hey, when you leave your post as a senior military official, there's going to be an X number of year moratorium before you can go work for a defense-related company. Now, and the argument against it will be saying, well, wait a minute, don't we want the most knowledgeable, capable people working for defense-related companies? Well, yeah. But there's already a lot of knowledgeable, capable people who are working for them. And yes, there is this downside, but right now the downside of having these people walk right out of their positions as senior military leaders into positions as corporate VPs, corporate presidents, board members, is it has destroyed any chance of any accountability in between the military and the military contractors, and then also on Congress. Now you've got, and that's the other problem is these people, they go out and a lot of our congressmen are patriotic people. And then you've got a general, who've served 40 years in the military saying, Bob, it looks bad right now, but I can assure you, we've got the best people working to resolve these issues and it's going to be back on schedule. And that would be one of the major reforms you'd have to do. And then put together a commission where you pull people, knowledgeable people from the private sector, and pay them to serve on it for a certain number of years to do a exhaustive review of procedures. For example, does an Arleigh Burke destroyer, which cost $2 billion, does it really have to cost that much when a 150,000-ton Queen Elizabeth II or Queen Mary II costs $1 billion, half the amount, and it's 15 times? There's things that should be done. So that's a couple of ideas.
All right. Another thing I like is that Trump loves the space program. I'm rooting for a Trump Tower on the moon. Although what I would rather see is the United Nations building turned into a Trump Tower.
Trump wants a tower on Mars.
On Mars. There you go. All right. We'll see you next week.
Bob Siegel Show, sponsored by Bob Siegel.